Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review. A look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Interesting testimony continues in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs. Capricorn Clark testifying just this week that she worked for Diddy on and off from 04 to about 2018, despite being threatened, physically assaulted, forced to work in a car at gunpoint, traumatized by workplace intimidation. She even reconnected with his legal team in 2024 to ask for a job as chief of staff. Here to discuss her testimony, to break it down, because there's a lot that has come out here. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. And we're not victim blaming or anything like that here. We're just trying to break down the psychology of what was going on and the control that this man seemed to have over people. I think the big question in this one, you know, people always think of the relationships that are romantic. You know, why didn't she leave? People seem to maybe understand that a little bit better if they've been in a bad relationship and dynamics. We've all had bad jobs, but I don't think quite to this point. What do you think is going on here? Working for him for about 14 years on and off, really horrible abuse, but still keep coming back to Diddy.
Yeah, this could be a book of this woman's life experience. Really, it would be fascinating because I think this is an incredible example of what we call a trauma bond, which is when people, and you mentioned abusive relationships, it's fairly common in a romantic relationship, but people can have that with their parents as well if they're raised in an abusive home. As someone who attaches very deeply and often with affection to someone who is cruel and hurtful to them. And this is hard to understand, but we can all form attachments in this way if we're in the right circumstances and we have the right vulnerabilities. And it's because the perpetrator mixes kindness, rewards, sometimes apologies, sometimes often affection in various ways, mixes it in with the cruelty. And the victim comes to think that when they're being punished in some way or treated badly, that it's their fault. And if they do things different, if they get it right, that it's going to improve. And so in that way, it's almost like an addiction. They keep trying to get it right with the fantasy that someday this is all going to be better. And they get enough out of it as far as money or, you know, self-esteem from the times that the person is kind to them, that it just keeps them coming back. Now, people who have been raised in abusive families are particularly vulnerable to this. And when I look at the length of time that this lady stayed in the situation with him, it makes me think that she must have had a pretty rough childhood.
Yeah. I mean, one would certainly wonder about that. I'm wondering if, like, on a very kind of simplistic level, to help others understand this, is if you've been in, you know, several relationships in your life, wherever that may be, some were good, some were bad, some were just kind of there, but, you know, they were good human beings. What are the ones that, you know, people on average tend to look back on like social media or check up on out of curiosity? It tends to be the bad ones, I would think, in a lot of cases, where one would think if the brain is, you know, working in a more healthy way, you'd be more curious about the folks where it was good and things didn't work mm-hmm. out, or even mm-hmm. just, you know, it was there, but, you know, how you doing? But to gravitate back towards the trauma out of curiosity, that's interesting. I think it's something all of us do to a certain extent. Now, there's that line of just curiosity, and sometimes it's, I hope they're doing good, or I hope maybe I'm going to see they passed away a few years ago. And there's just, you know, oh, and then you go, oh, maybe nobody noticed and they passed away a few years ago. Or there's, you know, just kind of indifference. Just, that's where they live now. Okay, whatever. Is that a good analogy? Just the curiosity, the way the brain works, where we tend to go back to more negative things out of curiosity than we do things that would be healthier for us?
I think the thing that may be going on there is the tendency to want to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. Why was I with that person? Mm-hmm. What went wrong? What is it about them that hooked me in? And so I think there's this natural curiosity when we're trying to make sense of our own narrative. Certainly I've done that. I wrote a book on that.
Yes,
trying
you
to
did.
Make sense, trying to make sense of my bad judgment.
Right here.
Yeah.
Nightbird, available wherever you get books.
And a lesson in what really are cluster B disorders and why do people get hooked into these relationships? Mm-hmm. It's almost, in a way, I think it is healthy if we're trying to understand ourselves and avoid making those same mistakes in the future.
Very true. Do you think that could be what was going on here with Capricorn Clark in a way of, I mean, just the idea that, you know, back in, what was it, 2014 or whatever, where when she started working for him, I mean, it was a big deal. People wanted mm-hmm. to work. There was a television show called Who Wants to Work for Diddy?
Oh, I did not know that.
It was literally a show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, that's sick.
There was multiple seasons of this thing. And it existed. So it was kind of a thing. It was, people were considering it kind of a big, and at the time, if you didn't know about all this stuff, and most of us didn't, if you got a job with working directly for him as like his like direct head of staff and things of that nature, if you're going into that, you're going to think, oh my gosh, this is going to change my life. This is going to be so good. I'm sure you're excited about it. I'm sure there's just a lot of positivity. And then you get to know Diddy. And then things get really, really dark. But still that hope and that dream of, well, it could be like this. You know, it sure looked like it would be like this, but it's not like this. That makes a lot of sense. If you kind of keep going back on, well, maybe if I handle them differently this way, or I handle them differently that way. This is a professional relationship. It could be true of a personal one too, but that does make sense. Trying to connect those dots. And is it kind of a fixer type thing as well? Where like, if I fix me or fix them, I can get this to go the way it should.
Yeah, it's very seductive. And if a person was raised in a family where that was their role in the family, to try to get it right, to try to keep mom or dad calm. And that's a template that they carry into their adult life. And you can see how Capricorn was probably very vulnerable to this. And the rewards were probably huge. I'm assuming she was well paid financially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a hook too. And thinking that if I just win him over, it's going to get better for me.
I think there was a lot of extreme ups and downs with him. It was either hellish and you're working for the devil, or you are living the highest life of some of the very, very few people on this planet. Yeah. And I don't think there was a lot of in between. It was this or it was that. And sometimes that high life ends up being more seductive, where you think, well, I can put up with this enough. I can, and then it amps and amps and amps. And eventually it's very discombobulated. She described it as total domination of Combs as controlling every aspect of her life. And this is an employee dictating where she lived, forcing drug errands, ordering polygraph tests, even managing her own relationships. What kind of a human being is doing that sort of thing? Or what's more so wrong with a human being who is trying to exert that level of control over anyone, more or less one of your own employees?
It's bizarre. And the thing that's so shocking, as I always say, is that this man has been idolized in our culture. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the most psychopathic people I've heard of. I guess we could say the serial killers, you know, might top it. But this is incredibly psychopathic and bizarre. I don't know how to explain it. What could, other than, as we say, a combination of bad genetics and role modeling and, you know, too much wealth. But there's this sadistic quality with him, and it's beyond belief. This lady would have a heck of a book about psychopathological relationships.
Oh, I can only imagine. Let's talk about another thing that went on. She witnessed there, and it corroborates more stories. I mean, this is why Diddy is going to be going down, at least on the Cassie charges. Clark described watching Combs kick Cassie Ventura repeatedly while she was in a fetal position, and said she begged security to step in, but no one helped. How can you explain that? I mean, can you explain moral injury and the trauma that comes from watching violence helplessly, especially when it involves people you care about? Why does someone not step in? Is it fear? Is it it's going to happen to me next? Is it, I don't know, just it happens so regularly, it loses the, you know, the horrid quality of it?
Yeah, the happening regularly, I think, desensitizes people to it. It's sort of like, well, here we go again. But moral injury is a real thing. And you see that often in wartime when people witness atrocities, but feel frozen. And I think that sense of being frozen is part of the trauma response, right? We go fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And I think she was certainly frozen a good deal of the time, as were probably other people around him. It's sort of like a combination of he was a mafia boss and a cult leader. I mean, it's one of the stranger stories that I've ever heard, not because he was a sadistic and a psychopath, but because he had the power over all these other people and hung out with celebrities, you know, other celebrities. And nobody called this out for decades. It's truly strange.
It is the level that he was able to get away with it on. Another piece that came out in the last week was the firebombing of Kid Cudi's car. This was someone who was dating Cassie Ventura on a little breakup time between the two of them. And, well, Diddy didn't like it. So he threatened that he was going to blow up Kid Cudi's car. And a few weeks later, it was firebombed with a Molotov cocktail. He just testified in court the other day. Clark testified and said Combs forced her into an SUV with a gun in his lap, took her to Kid Cudi's house, and refused to let her go unless Cassie agreed to show up. So this was pressuring her to convince Cassie to come and show up to this meeting that was going to go on. I mean, this is someone who, you know, okay, let's go on this car ride. And he has a gun. I'm guessing he probably had a gun on him a lot. The question I think would be, and I'm sure what the defense is going to try and present, that, well, she was just following directions in a high pressure situation, that they needed to go to this house. And of course he always carries a gun with her, but this is like an actual threat under coercive control, a big difference than just, you know, he's kind of an extreme dude and I'm just following orders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely off the chart and hard to put myself in that kind of situation and imagine what it was like for Capricorn. Mm-hmm. But I think she lived under the terror that she was going to be killed at mm-hmm. any given time. And that changes the way a person reacts in situations like that.
There's just so much of where this goes. I'm always just, every day with the Diddy case, I'm like, oh my God, he did that too. I mean, it's so dark. There was another fact that had come out as well. Diddy, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. He went as far as convincing Cassie's mom, because she knew that Cassie was in an abusive relationship with Diddy. Basically made Diddy's mom pay him $20,000 or something was going to happen to Cassie.
Wow.
Here's $20,000, don't tell anybody. It was like, you pay me not to hurt her worse. This is psychopathic, is it not? I mean,
100% psychopathic and a little bit crazy. I mean, you know, it's hard to understand, why do you need this kind of power over mm-hmm. people? I always use the word sadistic with him too. Yeah. He is above and beyond your average garden variety psychopath who makes up, you know, a lot of the prison system. I mean, he needs a special place in hell, quite frankly. This guy is awful.
I have another question, but I wonder if we're going to start finding bodies soon.
I wonder the same thing.
And maybe not even in this conviction, but because they're still investigating this guy. I'm wondering if we're going to start finding bodies and we're going to start finding people that did die and go. I'm wondering about the Tupac situation, because that whole trial is off the table right now until next year because of new evidence that has come in. We don't know if it's anything to do with Diddy. I don't think it would be far of a stretch, but just, you know, people who aren't even necessarily well known, things I wonder about are people like bodyguards, people like security, people who are not like the direct assistants of Diddy, people who are just there to, I guess, you know, kind of keep people in line, be the bouncers and stuff. These people saw a lot of horrible stuff and they didn't report it. They didn't do anything mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, I mean, it's easy to go, well, why wouldn't they? They could overpower him. They could get out of there. Yeah. But what else is he going to do to them and their family?
Exactly.
Think there was a lot of that going on within those ranks? And I'm wondering about the ones who did say, screw you, I'm going to do this anyhow, and got silenced before anything got out or just got laughed mm-hmm. out of the room. Mm-hmm. There actually is. And he was brought up in testimony just recently. I should do a deeper dive on this. This is the man who was the Trump hotel shooter. Remember that guy? A couple years ago, he looked psychopathic, went into the Trump Hotel, started shooting things up.
Oh, yeah.
And then he started saying crazy things. At least at the time, it sounded crazy. Started saying crazy things, that he was a sex slave for Diddy. We're like, he just shot up the hotel. Like,
wow.
What? You're a sex slave for Diddy? What?
Yeah.
Well, according to Cassie, he was. He actually was. He was a Chippendales dancer at the time who was recruited and actually was there. And he had sex with Cassie in front of Diddy for money.
Who would have guessed?
Those are the type of folks that I'm wondering about. He was still alive. I mean, he had a mental break and snapped and did that. But, and then he's saying these insanely crazy things. At least we think they're crazy. It's the folks like that that maybe aren't shooting up the hotels, but they're in their own torture chamber of life because they've lost their mind or had some sort of a break from reality that are out there as well. Because he got out, he got away. But this is where he ended up mentally. That one would have to guess there's a lot more people out there, don't you think?
That's it. And there may be more stories that come out, more people willing to step forward and discuss, you know, the dirty things that have happened after he's convicted and incarcerated permanently.
Yeah.
We may see a lot more. And yeah, it would surprise me if this wasn't just the tip of the iceberg. You know, I think there's a lot more going on with this guy.
I do, too. And I think there's a lot more people who are still not comfortable to talk until they know he cannot get
out. Exactly. Exactly.
Want to stay on top of the latest true crime cases? Press subscribe now and never miss a breaking update from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Oh, indeed it is, as we continue to go into the dark world of Mr. Diddler. So picture this. Sean Diddy Combs sitting in a Manhattan federal courthouse watching your former personal assistant testify about buying cocaine from someone named Baby Girl, while Kanye West randomly shows up in the overflow room wearing all white like he's attending a yacht party.
You know, I'm sorry, but your choice of attire, I think, is important. Don't you think?
Yeah, the yacht party attire, kind of weird when you're not at the yacht party.
Yeah, I would expect Michael McDonald to pop out at any given moment, you know?
Maybe that's what he's going for, you know?
Well, maybe.
Now that he's not a Nazi anymore, now he's, I don't know. He's just
kind of... Yeah, what happened to that? He was all...
I don't know. Now he's apparently like, maybe he's doing the smooth vibes, and I don't know. We're watching a man that's slowly dying. And like it's a sideshow. Anyway, yeah, that this is all really what passes for a normal week in what might be the most surreal criminal trial of the decade. We're talking about June 12th. I'm going to go back in time and get you caught up a little bit up to today. And honestly, these last 5 days have packed more drama than the entire season of reality TV. But here's one thing that gets me. While everyone's focused on the celebrity circus, the prosecution is methodically building a case that could pit one of hip-hop's biggest moguls away for life. The charges aren't just serious. They're the kind that make your stomach drop. Racketeering, conspiracy, and sex trafficking. We're not talking about tax evasion fraud here. This is human trafficking territory. Let me start with the moment that had everyone in the courtroom holding their breath, a woman testifying under the pseudonym Jane, because apparently even in 2025, we're still protecting victims' identities in sex trafficking cases. Good. Finishing 6 days of testimony by doing something absolutely unprecedented, she walks over and hugs both the prosecutor and the defense attorney. Think about that for a second. When was the last time you saw someone hug their cross-examiner?
I think there's a sense of relief that that this is finally getting out into the open, into the light.
I think that's probably what you got going on there. But here's what makes the hug very significant. Jane had just spent days describing what prosecutors call freak-offs, allegedly forced sexual encounters that Combs orchestrated and filmed. She testified that she'd gladly return over $150,000 in gifts and financial support if it meant never participating in what Combs allegedly called hotel nights again. That's not pocket change we're talking about. That's a house down payment, a luxury car, a year of college tuition. And she's saying she'd give it all back to escape what she experienced. The defense tried everything to discredit her. They painted her as financially motivated, pointed out inconsistencies, highlighted her continued relationship with Combs after those alleged incidents. But then came a big moment. Jane glaring directly at Combs before embracing his defense team You can't fake that kind of emotional complexity. That's someone who's been through hell and somehow found a way to show grace to the people trying to tear her apart and her testimony. Here's where things get weird. And I mean David Lynch weird. Right after this emotionally devastating testimony ends, the prosecution wheels out six firearms seized from Combs' Los Angeles mansion. Talking about AR-15 rifle parts with defaced serial numbers found near lubricants and drugs allegedly used in those freak-off sessions. The juxtaposition is jarring. One minute you're processing human trauma, the next you're staring at assault weapons, and were apparently stored like party supplies. The defense tries to normalize this by pointing out the guns were properly secured in a locked room managed by professional security staff, because apparently when you're Sean Combs, having a private armory is just good business sense. The prosecution's not buying it, though. They're painting a picture of a criminal enterprise where weapons, drugs, and sexual coercion all existed under one roof. Enter Jonathan Perez, Combs' former personal assistant, who gets immunity and proceeds to burn down everything inside. This guy testifies about procuring cocaine, ketamine, Molly, Adderall, and Xanax from dealers with street names that sound like rejected Pokemon characters, Guido and Baby Girl. I'm not making any of this up here. Perez shows text messages proving he sent $700 to Guido for drugs, because apparently even drug dealers take Venmo now. But here's what's brilliant about the defense strategy. They got Perez to admit that all this drug procurement and party planning represented only 1% of his job duties. 1%. It's essentially arguing that running an alleged criminal enterprise was just a side hustle for Combs. Like how some people sell essential oils on Facebook. It's clever. It's a very clever move that could seriously undermine the prosecution's racketeering theory. The really disturbing detail comes when Perez testifies about staff finding a sex tape featuring Jane on a business iPad. The employee who discovered it allegedly freaked out, which seems like appropriate in response to accidentally stumbling upon your boss's alleged trafficking evidence during a routine work task. It's another piece of the pattern prosecutors are building in this case. The complete integration of alleged criminal activity into everyday business operations. Then we get to the juror drama, which honestly kind of feels like something out of a legal thriller. Judge Aaron Submarinium dismissed juror number 6, a 41-year-old black corrections officer, for allegedly lying about his residence. The defense went ballistic, arguing this makes the jury less diverse by replacing a middle-aged black man with a middle-aged white architect from Westchester. Defense attorney.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you just do what I just did?
What?
Repeat that last line. A middle-aged white architect?
From Westchester.
Rex?
No, it's not Rex.
Okay.
Rex was not from Westchester. Rex was, and he wasn't in his 40s.
Middle age.
Where was he from? Massapequa Park.
Okay, well, I just, you know.
Yeah.
Guy might want a job while he's sitting in jail waiting for his trial.
You never know. You never know where you know, friends of Diddy may be. Defense attorney Xavier Donaldson isn't subtle about the optics here. He's essentially arguing that removing one of the few black jurors in a case involving a prominent black defendant creates appeal-worthy issues. The judge isn't having it, though. He cites deception and lying that affects the veracity of other answers, including the questions that go to the heat of the case. You have to wonder, in a trial where jury composition could determine the outcome, how much scrutiny about this should residents' claims really get? The defense is probably already drafting the appeal brief based on this decision alone. And here's another thing that kind of becomes absurd. More absurd than satire. Kanye West showed up, not metaphorically, literally. He rolled up to federal court in a black Mercedes Maybach, dressed in all white, like he's heading to the Mediterranean for a little retreat with Combs' son Christian in tow. Spends 40 minutes watching proceedings from the overflow room because he's not on the visitor list for the main courtroom. Then he leaves without talking to anyone. Why?
Why are you there? Why was he there?
Because he's nuts. Wes's been dealing with his own legal and personal issues as of late. Of course, his career has been in free fall for years, and then he decides to make it a smart move to publicly associate himself with someone on trial for sex trafficking. It's either loyalty taken to an irrational extreme or the kind of impulse decision-making that explains a whole lot about Wes's recent trajectory. The judge, meanwhile, is running a tight courtroom when he catches Combs nodding vigorously at the jury during testimony. Some Iranian threatened to remove him entirely. Anyway, a federal judge essentially telling the defendant to stop making faces or he's going to be watching his own trial on closed circuit TV.
So just I would have such a problem. Everything is on my face. Like I don't have a poker face. Yeah. I can't play poker.
Well, you can react, but you can't be like looking at the jurors, glaring at them, reacting.
I would totally do that.
You would look at the jurors?
Yeah, I'd be like, I know you can't see this if you're just listening to audio, but I'd be like,
you'd get kicked out.
I know I would.
Yeah.
I'd be in shackles. I'd be worse than Lori Vallow. There's no way I could keep my expressions and my eye rolling and the eyebrows up. Yeah. That's who I am. I can't change that.
Well, the week wrapped up last week. Prosecutors announced that they're not calling Krista Corum, Combs' longtime chief of staff, who's been portrayed as a central figure in the alleged enterprise. Instead, they're moving towards their final witness, summary experts, former assistant Brendan Paul, and additional law enforcement. Translation, they think they've proven their case, and they're wrapping up before the defense can muddy the waters further. We'll be watching what happens next. It's going to be interesting as the defense takes their place at the stage. Their strategy is pretty clear. Point this as consensual adult behavior gone wrong. Highlight potential financial motivations of accusers and separate Combs' personal indiscretions from criminal enterprise activity. That's what they're going to try and do. They need to convince just one juror that what happened was morally questionable but not criminally prosecutable. So what happens next? That's the big question, but that's where things are sitting as of right now.
Wow. It's a lot. I think he's going to be guilty of something.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
There's so much evidence here. I mean, we could sit and rehash this over and over again, but I just...
Yeah, the Cassie charges. Evidence. Yeah, the Cassie charges he's going down with for sure.
Yes, yes, yes. The rest of it might just be gravy at this point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the fact that they're not calling other witnesses. I mean, that's okay. I mean, nothing's a sure deal, but that's okay.
Feels like it
long
because
as you're sure
they must feel that this is a tightly locked up case, that what they're presenting is enough.
Well, the defense is going to go next and then you'll get the rebuttal if they want to. So I suppose if they do need it, they could, maybe they'll keep that chief of staff as an ace in the pocket if they need it after the defense goes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. I really wonder how much of a defense is going to be put up here, or is less going to be more at this point? Because if you start to really argue some of this completely indefensible behavior too much, I think that'll piss jurors off even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, something that we talked about with the Karen Reed trial, this is a long time out of somebody's life, especially during the summer. Who knows who these people are? This might be their free time. This might be time with their kids. This is valuable time. So don't piss off your jurors.
Yeah.
You know, these are human beings with families. This is valuable time. You're not making a shit ton of money off of this.
Mm-hmm. But they're given that much of their time to deal with this and subject themselves to this.
That's the other thing. There's some trauma that, you know, some people are probably experiencing after hearing these stories.
Well, that, and I just, I don't know, I would be really concerned about harassment. I mean, from crazy people. It's not like there's a huge movement that's on the side of Diddy here. But, you know, there's some crazies out there that, you know, may be very, very dedicated to, you know, targeting people that could take down their Diddy. I wouldn't like that. I mean, it's not, obviously, it's such a high profile trial. You're putting yourself at risk by taking it on. And, you know,
very much so.
It's good that there's people who are willing to do that. So,
it's a very good thing. I can't imagine the aftermath for some of these jurors.
Yeah.
I just can't. The stories that they're listening to, the things that they're seeing, you know, we as the public, we aren't seeing it because none of this is publicized.
No.
Televised, I should say. That's a lot for some. They're witnessing somebody else's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. The emotional impact that it's making on them as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you're trying to render a verdict by the letter of the law, not your emotions, but people are people and it will play in.
You know, they've got daughters.
No matter what. Yeah.
This is gross.
Did you see his kids put out a lovely Father's Day message on the Facebooks? Or I think it was Twitter, actually. Just heartfelt. Just, you know, love you, Pops, no matter what. It's like, guys, run. Start getting therapy and just run.
Well, it's all they know. That's their dad.
I know. That is all they know.
It's sad and tragic.
I mean, and even some of them have or had their own charges that have been brought against them, I believe, civilly. I would not be surprised if they end up in prison, you know, not too long after Pops.
Well, then they can celebrate Father's Day together.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that they could probably do that. So there you go. That's how it will all, honestly, within 5 years, that's probably how this is going to end. Everybody together for the holidays, a very Diddy Christmas. It'll be a special on
Hallmark.
On Hallmark. Yes. Live from the pen. It's a very Diddy Christmas. Him and his kids, they'll perform on the stage. We'll have special guests, you know.
With a little special baby oil ornaments on the tree.
Special appearance from Alec Murdaugh. And
there you go.
And other all-star, true crime all-stars. The true crime all-star cast of a very Diddy Christmas. Damn. You know what? I want to make this on AI and make a commercial for it.
You should. You absolutely should.
This would be a really fun one to do. A very Diddy Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I think you're onto something here.
Oh. That's what I'm going to be doing shortly. there you go. No verdict in the Karen Reed trial as of yet. They went home for a day. And they had all weekend, came back, nothing Monday. That doesn't bode well for Karen Reed, because if it was not guilty, they'd probably already be there.
Yeah, I suppose after, you know, 7 hours of deliberation, they would totally throw in the towel and go, okay, we're out.
And you have five options of how to sentence her. And I know they don't like that at all, because it guarantees, like I said, it guarantees the drunk driving one. Then it's, again, how far up the lane are you going to go? If you believe that she struck him, it is murder. It's second degree murder because of the drunkenness and the reckless is the other half. So the drunkenness, and there's the other part, would be flooring it at that type of a speed on a residential street.
Yeah.
That would also be considered extremely reckless behavior. And she knew that he just got out of the car. So it just automatically makes it second degree murder.
It really does.
Technically, it does. It's not a let's debate it. It's just that is second degree murder.
I forgot. Are we talking about like life in prison kind of a thing?
No, I don't know the exact possibilities, but we're probably talking like 15, 25 years, you know, at a minimum, if it's second degree.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but no. So we'll see. We're a day in. How long?
Well, I have written down Thursday for you. You estimated Thursday and I said Wednesday.
Okay.
It's on my little sticky note from last week.
But I said that's when they would go to the jury. So I was
damn
it.
You remembered
that
because as I said that out loud, I'm like, wait a minute. That's when we thought this would wrap up. So do we need to redo this?
Yeah, I think it's a new one now because you would have won that one because you were closer to it starting.
Okay. Deliberation. So what do you think? What's the day? Oh, you're really thinking about this.
I think it's tomorrow or Wednesday.
Oh, my.
Or Tuesday or Wednesday is what I...
Okay. So Tuesday or Wednesday. All right. Well, I think Thursday.
Okay. I don't think I'm allowed to pick 2 days, but
I'll let you have 2 days.
I'm kind of leaning more towards Tuesday. So if you're watching this in the morning today, because again, I think they want to get out of there. I mean, unless there's somebody in there that's holding this shit up, and it'll be home then. Yeah. And there could be. There very well could be. Then we get to do it all over again.
Oh, no.
I don't know that I would. I mean, I think I'd cover it, but I don't know that I could, you know, I don't know. This has just been exhausting.
It has been. And we're not even part of it. You know, no. Can you imagine? Not that I want to have any sympathy, but I can't imagine being Karen Reed. I get anxious when I'm waiting for my cat's lab results.
Yeah.
Like I can't sleep and my heart's racing. I can't imagine what she went through this weekend. And I understand there is a gentleman who's dead. I get that. But I'm saying she is a living creature. And I'm just thinking of what it's like for her this entire weekend. Like you wake up Saturday morning and think, oh, I'm going to go make some coffee. Oh, shit. There's a group of people who are going to decide my fate. It's a lot to think about.
I don't think that she's operating that way. I think it's more like there's a group of people with pink shirts on. Oh, adore me. Give me an ego bath. I think that far overwhelms any sense of remorse or even her brain allowing her to think of those things as a possibility anymore. And maybe she's made peace with it too. I would imagine by this point, she's probably made peace with it of like, well, if it happens, it happens. And, but who knows? It could be an absolute shocker to her because I think she likes to drink her own Kool-Aid. So
could be,
I don't know. I
don't know. I would be lying in bed in the fetal position all weekend. Like, popping Benadryl to keep myself asleep.
Yeah. I'm highly doubting that's how she spent the weekend. I'm going to guess there was probably a couple bottles of vodka involved. And
I would think so.
Which for most people would then put you in the fetal position. I don't know that affects her the same way. So there you go. All right. That's the latest. We will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.